morning. Am I on here? Can I move this out of the way? Did I turn that on? I didn't turn it on. That'd help. I'm going to get this out of my way for me. All right. And I want to look at something in Mark chapter number 1. Jesus is in this chapter calling the first four disciples. Well, we'll stick this then. We'll just leave that one on then. All right. That thing's been on the fritz. Yeah, it is today, isn't it? I'm going to take it off the fritz, okay? In chapter number 2, Jesus calls the fifth disciple, and we're going to look at them this morning and see something about them. And I want to talk to you about the first steps in missions. The first step in being a missionary. God's called us all to do the work of a missionary, but not everybody can go to a foreign field to be a missionary. We could call this the first step in serving Christ, of being what God wants us to do as we look at the call of the disciples. Look again, if you will, in Mark, or I guess we didn't read it yet, Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 16. It says, and now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, or John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God today. I pray that it would be a challenge and encouragement to each one of us today to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we often desire to do something for God, but we never get past the first step. And maybe we do something for God, but our efforts are all in the flesh rather than in the spirit. God's call and God's surrender are not synonymous. And I plan on spending some time, maybe I might take two Sunday nights, to talk about finding God's will for your life. And we think of that for young people, but adults need to find God's will for their life. Wherever you are, you need to be constantly looking for God's will for your life. Now, Jesus' first command to his 12 disciples is their most important work. Let me just back up a little bit. What do you think of when you think of, now, we just read these verses. When you talk about the calling of the 12 disciples, what do you see first? What do we think of first concerning the disciples' call? Well, I noticed that Jesus saw them first before they saw him. And he called out to them before they called to him. I noticed that especially these four here, it's very obvious they were very industrious. They were hard workers. Being a fisherman in those days was not like you maybe think of being a fisherman today. That was one of the most labor-intensive professions you could have. They were family men. They worked alongside their father, probably in a family business that had gone on for generations. And they probably had wives and children that they were training themselves to be fishers of men and to carry on the family tradition. Jesus gave them the promise. Of course, we sing the song, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men, if you follow, how's that song go? I'm trying to remember it. I will make you fishers of men. We'll have Todd come up and sing it, right? He got that casting part down. But I want you to see something before all that. Or we think of this, and this is key also. To follow Jesus, they forsook everything. They put down all that was familiar with them. They said goodbye to their livelihood. They said goodbye to their home. They said goodbye to their family. And everything that was familiar to them, they walked away from to follow Jesus Christ. You think, well, God's called me to do something. What's the most important thing? And we focus on those things that I just mentioned. But I dare say that God just showed me, as I was looking at this and studying it again this week, that there's something that we often neglect and miss. And if we don't see this, we've missed it all. The first command that Jesus gave, you'll notice in verse number 17, as he spoke to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, Simon, who's also named Peter later, he said, "Come ye after me. Come ye after me." And in verse number 20, as he speaks to James and John, or talks about James and John, says that they went after him. Their prize was not fishing for men. Their prize was Jesus. Their prize was not doing a work for God. Their prize was Jesus. The thing that was the most important to them, and we jump ahead to Mark chapter 2 and verse number 14, where he calls Levi, otherwise called Matthew, in the other Gospels, he said, "Follow me." Now, they did all these things because they followed Jesus. And I want to, maybe a subtitle, I said the title of the message already, the first step in missions, the first step in serving Jesus Christ or living for God or being a disciple is following Christ. And I'm going to take the subtitle in Mark 1 and verse 17, as Jesus spoke to Simon and Andrew, he said, "Follow ye after me." Follow ye after me. Follow me, not the work that I've called you to. Yes, do the work, but first and foremost, follow me. Follow me, not the ministry that I'm going to give you. Yes, do the ministry that I've called you, but first and foremost, keep it before you, always following Christ. Well, I want to have victory over something in my life, and I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to get the character. And someone was just talking to me the other day of, I wish I had the character. And I said, don't emphasize the character as much as you do following Jesus Christ. Just follow Him. Well, I want the blessings of God in my life and my family. Just follow Christ. Well, I want God's blessing in our church and our ministry here. Just follow Christ. I want to have a good job and a good family. Just follow Christ. God leads us one step at a time. And oftentimes when we talk about the will of God, we're looking far down the road. We ought not be concerned about that, because that road will take some turns and twists along the way. And you just follow Christ and let Him be your guide. God leads us one step at a time. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but we do know who holds the future. Amen? That's a song I remember hearing before. And we do know who's in control if we just follow Him. And slowly as we follow Him, His desires become our desires. And He always grants us our desires when we're following Him, because our desires are His desires. Come after me. Now you think of this in the disciples here, before we give you a couple things to apply to our lives today. If they only knew what was going to happen in the next 3 or 4 years, do you think they would have followed Jesus? I have a feeling all of them would have said, "Forget this. Are you crazy? You expect me to do that?" I know that many things in our future are better off that we don't know about. They're going to see the miracles and the teachings of Christ and how exciting that must have been. And they're expecting a revival of Judaism, where the Jews are going to come out from bondage. This is their Messiah. This is their Redeemer that's going to free them from the Roman bondage. And they're going to enjoy the things that Israel enjoyed as they read in the Old Testament. They expected great things, but nothing happened like they expected. Their faith in Christ was often faltering. The word of the day when they listened to Jesus was confusion. They had no idea what he was talking about. Until afterwards, they look back. That's why he said this. But at the time, they were, what? Yeah, what? Yeah, we understand, sure. What did he say? I don't know what he said. What's he talking about? I don't know what he's talking. They were confused. And in fact, Jesus said before he was crucified, he gathered his disciples together in the end of the Gospel of John and said, I have many things that I want to tell you, but you're not able to hear them now. He said, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going away, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you a book that's going to guide you in all truth. And they followed him as they saw him arrested, beaten, crucified, and thought, it's over with now. It's done. If they would have only known what they were getting into. They fled out of fear for their own lives as he was rejected by his own people, the Jews. And they saw him raise himself from the dead. They saw the risen Christ, and then they saw him ascend into heaven after 40 days. They were gathered together on the day of Pentecost to celebrate another Jewish feast, like what they thought was going to be like other Jewish feasts, but this was far different. And they saw now the gospel is turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. They never expected that. And not in their wildest dreams. If they would have known what they were signing up for, if we would have known what we were signing up for, but God leads us one step at a time, and God's grace will always sustain us. In fact, if you follow their lives, it's going to get sketchy when you get outside of the Bible what happened to the 12 disciples. Of course, Judas betrayed Christ and hung himself. He became an imposter. And then tradition tells us that Matthew and Andrew both suffered a martyr's death. Now, I don't put a whole lot of stock in tradition because oftentimes that tradition goes contrary to the Bible. For example, Peter... If you read the books of 1 and 2 Peter, you'll find out that Peter traveled to Babylon where he served to the end of his life, and there he was martyred in Babylon. But tradition says that he went the opposite direction to Rome, and there was, of course, they built a basilica over his supposed body. The problem is, when you look at the Bible, he never went that direction. He went the opposite direction. But we do read in Acts chapter number 12 where James was the first of the disciples to be martyred for his faith. He was killed by Herod in James. And John was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he gave us the book of Revelation. God said he was exiled there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ to show us things to come. If they would have known what following Christ was going to get them to, I don't think they would have signed up at the beginning. If we would know what we were signing up for many times, I think we'd have some second thoughts. But God, just follow me. It'll be all right if you just follow me. Well, what does it mean to come after Christ? What does it mean to follow Christ? You know, we're just going to make some applications here and we'll be done this morning. First of all, it means to experience God's grace in salvation. Follow me in salvation. You can't save yourself. You can't do this on your own. There's no work you can do to get yourself to heaven. There's no goodness that you can claim to earn or merit eternal life. You're only saved by the grace of God. God doing in us what is humanly impossible. And not only God doing in us, but God doing through us what we cannot do. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. There are many ways we define grace. We experience that grace for the first time when we come to Jesus Christ as a lost sinner and say, God, be merciful unto me as a sinner. I trust you with my soul and I give you my life as my Savior, as my Redeemer. To experience God's salvation begins with a prayer by calling upon whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And that's just the beginning. As you go through life, you learn to pray and never come to the place where you're satisfied in your prayer life. I've learned this. I've been at it for 40 some years. I'm never satisfied with my prayer life. Usually my prayer time starts out, Lord, teach me how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I'm not sure what I should pray for as I ought to. In Romans chapter number 8, Paul struggled with that as a mature Christian, and I'm still struggling. I don't know how to pray. God, teach me how to pray, as the disciples asked Jesus during his earthly ministry. And then we experience God's grace and salvation as we learn to pray, and then we learn to get into the Word of God. Some of us, so we got saved as young people, still barely a teenager, had to teach myself how to read so I could read and study the Word of God, because there's no replacement in following Jesus to studying and reading the Word of God. And sometimes we think, well, just reading the Word of God, that's a major step right there, but it ought to go much farther than that. That's like telling people you ought to breathe. You don't have to be reminded to do that. You just do that naturally. We got to learn to memorize, meditate, dig into the Word of God, and experience God's salvation. And by the way, the gospel is preserved to us, for us, through the Word of God. If it weren't for this book, where would the gospel be? It would be resting upon man's traditions and man's ideas, as sad to say, even in many so-called churches and so-called Bibles today, it's built upon man's philosophy. Well, I don't think that belongs there. I think God's preserved His Word for us. God's saved it for us, and we need to get into the Word of God. This is the very Word of God. And that salvation experience will transform your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and the more we get into Christ, the more we give ourselves to Him through prayer and the Word of God, the more our life is transformed. The more we follow Him, it's not my salvation, it's not my works, it's not my baptism that gets me to heaven, as the church taught that I grew up in. It's not being a good person that'll hopefully get you there. No, it's trusting Jesus Christ, learning to follow Him. Experience God's grace at salvation is what it means to come ye after me. But then, secondly, it's to experience God's grace in sanctification. I like that word, sanctification. Sadly, it's not a word that we use a lot today. That means set apart, being holy, set aside for something. God will take you to some amazing places if you give Him your all. If you give Him everything, He'll use you to do things that you never thought were possible. It's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's called being anointed from God, surrendering yourself to Him. Experience the grace, and it's not something that I can do. It's not something I've got to develop. I've got to learn to do. And I'm so glad when God called me to the ministry, though I struggled for a long time, said, God, I can't do that. There's no way in the world I could do that. And there is no way in the world I could do that on my own. Only through the grace of God. And I'm begging God for His grace every day to use me for what He's called me to do, and to serve others, to be involved in church and the ministry, and to pastor a church. You know, you look back in Peter's life, you know, Peter was the spokesman for the disciples for the during Jesus' earthly ministry. Usually when he spoke up, he said the wrong thing. And Peter realized, Peter, there's got to be something something's not right here with you, Peter. God says that to me quite often. Something ain't right there. And God said, Peter, there's going to come a time when you're going to get converted. Now, he's not talking about salvation. Peter already made that great confession. We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we trust you for salvation. But Jesus said, Peter, just before his crucifixion, he told Peter how he's going to deny the Lord three times. And he told Peter, reminded Peter, Peter, I've prayed for you, and sometime down the road, you're going to go through a conversion. You're going to experience something that's going to transform your life. And when that happens, you're not going to be the same Peter you used to be. And of course, Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord was risen from the dead. And he came back to Peter again and asked Peter three times, do you love me? We go through all of that. But in that text in John chapter number 21, Jesus began to speak again about his conversion. And he told Peter, listen to this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. You did what you wanted to. But when you are old, when you are fully converted, when you become an adult, thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall guide thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. That's the conversion of God's grace. When Peter got to that point where he said, it's not my life anymore, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to follow Him. He made that conversion, that step to where he became, as Jesus referred to, as an adult. Now, he's not there yet when Jesus was saying these words in John chapter number 21. We won't go any further into Peter to see when that happened, but you see it happen in the book of Acts. But in John chapter number 21, the continuing that same conversation, Peter was listening to what Jesus was saying, but he started looking around. Yeah, that always gets us in trouble when we start looking around. And Peter looked over and saw John standing next to Jesus. And Peter immediately said, well, what about him? It don't matter about him. In fact, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You just follow me. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just follow me. Don't try to figure out what God's will is for them. Just figure out what the next step that I want you to take. Just follow me. Follow thou. You see, Jesus was still saying that same thing to Peter all throughout his life. Peter, just follow thou me. And sometimes we say, well, I can't get victory over besetting sins. And I shared experience how God taught me this and a besetting sin that I had as a young Christian. And I still face it today. And you try to change it. You try to quit doing certain things. You try to discipline yourself to do things. And you run into nothing but frustration. Even the most difficult or the most disciplined person can't get over all sins in their life. But I've learned that when we just follow Jesus, sometimes those things will just kind of fade in the background. And you wake up one day and realize, hey, that thing's gone. That thing that used to consume me, that thing that used to control me is now gone. We have many idols in our life. The book of 1 John ends with that warning. You think, why is that? The book of 1 John is all about fellowshipping with God. And then he ends, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And it's almost like that verse doesn't fit in with the rest of the book. But the reality is all of us have many idols in our life. Yeah. An idol is anything that comes between me and God. And oftentimes a good thing can become an idol. The blessings of God can sometimes become our idol. The career that God gave me, the job that God gave me, sometimes can become my idol that keeps me from following Jesus Christ. Learning to trust Him. The possessions or the wealth that I have can keep me from following. Well, I've got to keep up my possessions. I've got to do this. I've got to earn a living and my social standing. Boy, if I say this, folks are going to laugh at me. And that becomes an idol for me serving Christ. My personal goals. Well, I just want to, by this age, I wanted to be here. That can become an idol that can keep you from following Jesus Christ. Sometimes my family, my children. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my family. But don't let that good things become your idol. But let your children become your idol. I've watched it more times than I can begin to number. When little Johnny or little Susie, it's usually little Susie, wants her way, the whole family caters to little Susie and goes out of church, away from God, because their children are more important than God. I posted some pictures on Facebook about our family. We get to visit with our families, and you see people say, well, family's everything. All that matters is family. No, all that matters is God. Amen? Everything else is secondary. Thank God for family. Thank God for loved ones. Thank God for the things that God allows us to do, but don't ever say they're more important than God. How many times do you see people get out of church because they got to work on Sunday? I'm sorry you have to, but I'd do everything I could to get out of that because God's house comes first. God comes first. Or sometimes our commitments in church can even keep us from God, from walking with God. Well, I've got to do this even though my heart's not right. I've got to sing. I've got to preach. I've got to teach a Sunday school class even though my heart... No, follow Christ first. If you're not following Christ, everything else is vain and empty. In Matthew chapter number 19, Jesus was talking to his disciples about how, you remember the contact with a young man that owned great possessions. And at the end of that conversation, the man left and Jesus said, it's easier for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about if you're rich, you can't get to heaven, like some folks sometimes have taught. In that conversation, when he got done talking to them, Peter said, well, look at us, Jesus. We've forsaken everything to follow you. And Jesus spoke to Peter in Matthew 19 and verse number 29. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters and father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting. Besides it, you get to go to heaven for all eternity. And sometimes our family, the closeness of it's not an easy thing to see your children go across the world to the mission field. It's not an easy thing to talk to them and know that they've got sickness over there that can't be treated where they are. If they were home, they could get treated for that sickness without a problem. It's not an easy thing to be separated for miles and only see them every few years. But I would rather them be in the will of God than living next door outside of the will of God. In Matthew chapter number 10, Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it. You lose your life for His sake to follow Jesus Christ. He'll give you things better than you ever dreamt if you just follow Him and trust in Him. And maybe this is the best part. Following Christ means experiencing God's grace at salvation, experiencing God's grace at sanctification, which is a continual process. Salvation was a one-time thing. Sanctification is a continual giving yourself over and over to Him every day. And eventually we come to this where we experience God's grace in life and in death. Experience God's grace. You see, physical death is just a little step to someone who's already died to his flesh to live in Christ. It's not my life. It's His life. Paul talked about that in Philippians. And I love the book of Philippians. We've been studying it some for Sunday school. In Philippians 1, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We all know that verse, but do you know the next verse that follows after that? But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't care. It's not important what I think, what I choose. But that changed a lot of arguing today amongst even Christian people. Well, I think this. Well, I believe that. That's not important, what I choose. What does God choose? In chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he says that I may know Him and the power. I've forsaken everything. I counted everything in life but dung, but waste, that I may know Him. And the fellowship of His, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. You know, we think, well, He's forgetting all His failures. No, He's forgetting the good and the bad things from behind. I'm leaving all that behind, and I'm pursuing after Christ that I may know Him. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm longing to be with Him and to get closer to Him. Well, one day I'm going to leave all this behind. But my eyes right now are fixed on Jesus. That's the direction I'm going. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's God's grace. I can do it through Him, and I can experience that. The Lord gave me this a while back when Brother Rex went to heaven in Psalm 23, and I started to reword it to thinking of Brother Rex and thinking of a child of God, of myself or you as you serve God. Psalm 23 is a very favorite psalm of many people. And let me just rephrase it here a little bit. The Lord, or since the Lord has been my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing else I want. That's all I want. He has made me to lie down in green pastures, even though sometimes I didn't want to lie down. And He continues to lead me beside the still waters. He's doing the leading. He is always there to restore my soul, my mind, my heart, my emotions. He leadeth me. He's led me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not what I chose, but what He has chosen. He's led me to those places. And now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a valley. It's just a little crossing. And the closer I get to God, the more I die to my flesh today, the shorter that step becomes. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for He's still going to be with me. His rod and His staff, they still will comfort me. He even prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He doesn't take me out from mine enemies and gives me meal. He's right there in the midst of my enemies, right there in the midst of the conflict. I can sit down and have a hamburger. Well, that's a stretch, isn't it? I can have a meal and fellowship with Him. He anoints my head with oil and my cup. The blessings just keep flowing. It just keeps getting better and better. I think of Johnny Freibarger used to say this. I've heard other people. The best is yet to come, isn't it? For the child of God, the best is yet to come. Living here in this earth is great, but the best is still to come. Just keep following Christ. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then when this life is over, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm dwelling in His presence now, and I'm experiencing God's grace in life, and I'll experience it in eternity when I pass from this life through the valley of the shadow of death and enter into His presence. The start of serving Christ. Just follow me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You ever wonder about that verse? He said, you take my yoke. Well, that's I've got two yokes now. I've got my own yoke and now I've got His. I'm carrying double load here. No, He says, my yoke's easy. Why is that? Because He's doing most of the work. I'm just along for the ride. I'm not sure where we're going. We're just trusting in Him. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. When we follow Him, the life of a transgressor is hard, the book of Proverbs says. If I choose my own way, I'm going to suffer a great deal of unnecessary hardships. Because I thought I should do this, or I felt that this is... Oh, just follow Jesus each step of the way. At the beginning of this year, I'd encourage you, just every day, just start, I'm going to follow Jesus today. I'm going to get up in the morning and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Where are we going today? And enjoy the ride in God's grace. I'm going to ask you to stand to your